this hearing of the Conference Committee on House File 5247. Our agenda today is to present the, first of all, to present the Senate offer that was sent to the House and made public over the weekend, and then to listen to the House response and presentation of their offer. And then we probably will take a recess at that point. And we'll be recessing at various times through the day. I expect that we will be here until much later in the evening, dealing with our differences and trying to reach some agreements. So that's kind of the plan. We don't have session today. We do have, some of us have other obligations to our caucus and whatever, and maybe even some other conference committees. We understand that. And we will be tolerant of that. So I'm going to begin with the Senate author, and the way I'm going to do this, because I think it's more meaningful to understand not just things by reference to an article and a section or whatever, but actually to the side-by-side where the actual language of these provisions are. with regard to in Article 1, in Section 4 of the House bill, we have called upon the Department of Revenue to suggest some alternative language to the disclosure of corporate franchise tax information, which the with regard to the House provision, the Senate is unanimously opposed. With regard to going on to Section 6, the Senate, in this page 3, we proposed the Foreign Service Pension Retirement Pay, which is a provision that came to us from Senator Klein, I believe, and it is a minor appropriation. In our offer, in our first offer, we propose direct free filing of individual returns. On further reflection with regard to the disallowance of contractors who offer paid tax preparation services, that section will not be part of the second offer from the Senate. With regard to the child tax credit, there are a number of provisions that are similar from the House and the Senate. We have proposed sections 9, 10, and 11 in our beginning offer, but we know that there is there are still some items, including some fairly significant ones with regard to how we approach 24-25 and then the biennium. And I would say we're committed to resolving our issues with the child tax credit. And I don't think it'll be all that hard to get on the same page. The Senate proposes with regard to the K-12 credit, our Section 12, which allows for, it creates a new definition for career and technical education programs and expands the expenses that are eligible for that to include those expenses for qualifying for qualifying children, and it really regards paying for or including the cost of providing transportation outside of regular school hours for participation in those redefined career and technical education programs. Our offer also includes Section 13 and 14 on page 5, which is Section 13 expands the ability to use the special, by using it for special education courses to obtain a master's degree that credit which we enacted last year or so. We also include Section 14 in our offer, which is $80,000 in the CAELS for the aerospace and aviation credit. That is Senator Housechild's provision. We propose Section 15 with regard to the renter's credit and the and it is with regard to the reorganized, with regard to the coerced debt. In our second offer, we're probably going to reconsider that because I'm increasingly impressed with the House's position of we just last year, with regard to the renter's credit, went to AGI, and maybe we should let that linger a bit before before changing or subtracting or anything the definition of income there. Our proposal includes the Senate Section 16 and 17, which has to do with the short line railroad infrastructure modernization credit that we adopted last year that needed some fixes to it. We had considered putting them in the first bill that we passed along with the NOL because we considered it non-costly and it would just modernize, it would just clarify what needed to be said with regard to that credit, but it ended up being just too many details, and we decided to set that aside, and we are including it now in our offer. On page 7, our offer includes Section 19, the Shakopee Area Workforce Development Scholarships Credit. That program itself is being included in another bill, and it's Senator Pratt's provision, and although the funder of it, or the responsible authority, if you will, has been changed from a foundation, as I understand it, to the school district, we are still carrying the credit for the amount of the employer scholarship that was awarded to the to that employer sponsored applicant. Then, if you will, there was another section regarding the electronic direct filing system, and that is in offer 1 that will not be included in offer 2. With section, now moving to article 2 in section 5, we had a provision that clarifies that income averaging is allowed for class 4D, just as it is in the federal system or federal tax code. We have been, some people have said It's not a clarification. It is a, it is an expansion. We have a letter from the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency that says, no, it is not an expansion. It is indeed a mere clarification, and so doesn't have any policy effect about what is going on right now. Section 6, Senator Putnam's bill about market farming was, I don't have the level of detail understanding of the House author, but I understand that that was, that that may be included in their offer, and you probably would see it from the Senate in a second offer. Moving on to the land bank organization, we went with the House language. It's the same as the Senate, but we're going to have some issues, even though we included Section 23 in the offer. We're reviewing that of the House language. We're reviewing that, and that has to do with any kind of clawback provision. On page 14, we have an offer regarding the local homeless prevention aid. The House had $5 million. Our offer has $4 million, and I understand the House has increased their offer by $10 million, and that will be unacceptable to the Senate. On Article 2, Section 25, we provide a $2,000 one-year appropriation for the SWCD aid distribution, just for 1 year. And we do the same thing in Section 26 with the township, a 1 year only. Keeping in mind that we really have an extremely small tailed budget, and maybe with some of the suggestions we're getting from the Department of Revenue, we may be able to free up some of our target for 24-25, but that's not on the table right at the moment. Then on Article 4, Section 1, the establishment of a sales tax refund account, that is a way, it's a special account by which we would then provide for the sales tax exemptions that are in the rest of the article, the Senate provisions. We had already adopted sections 6 of the House article and section 10 of the Senate article, and that takes us through through Article 4, because there are other needs, and we had indicated we'd be doing that earlier. We had originally $33 million funding all of the sales tax exemptions, and in our target, and that was that remains an extremely high priority for the Senate. Reducing that down to $7 or $8 million is unacceptable. Moving on. We, within the local sales and use taxes, even though we've proposed some of these sections. We're doing a double take on a number of them. Probably staying with subdivision one of section four, that was the House language. We also had looked at the provisions with administration and termination, and had they were, some were not the same. One that we have a have gathered now from after publishing our proposal with regard to the equalization distribution, and we are in our second offer will be withdrawing our support for that based on the analysis that we have received about that. I think we had also included our section four on page 46 with regard to the local sales taxes, but I think that whole article is still, even though we've adopted with regard to local sales taxes, the a couple of the provisions that we really need to look at that as a comprehensive plan for local sales taxes and work something out that is both acceptable to the House and the Senate. We had proposed and we had adopted for those who care about the Minneapolis downtown taxing area, but some objections have been raised about that we adopted sections three and four of Article 7. And I understand that there are conversations going on between the city and affected legislators on that. And we certainly be open to it being amended. The SCORE grants are covered on section three, and because we made a, or we neglected to include the provision dealing with section 530, we needed, because there was a minor fiscal impact of $10,000, we needed to find some room for that, and because it is part of our offer. The our offer now, as it was corrected or revised, our offer one reflects that that paying for that provision by decreasing the SCORE grant amounts to $3,222,000. Then on Article 8, we have that $2 million appropriation for the SWCD. We do not include the amount just for the county of Anoka, and feel like if our provision is adopted in our global agreement, that it would be covered by the $2 million. Section 14 of Article 4, we treat Browerville differently. The House simply makes an appropriation of $580,000 to the Browerville Public Schools to use for materials and supplies in the renovation of that school building and its new construction. And in the Senate, their original request was for a sales tax exemption for all those costs. Again, the total refunds not exceeding $580,000, but using it as a sales tax exemption. Members and both House and the Senate conferees, that is a description of the Senate's author, with one other additional thing, and that is the language of Senate File 5110 as amended by the by Amendment 41. It's easier, I think, to refer to it as by the Senate file number, by that, rather than explaining the whole thing. But what it does include and addresses the repurposing of the tax that is currently being collected in Hennepin County to pay off the bonds for the construction of the ballpark. Target Field has been very successful, and the money is there ahead of time to do that. But there's been expressed by many folks, on even people who hate baseball, that this is a worthy. I don't. Can anybody hate baseball? I don't think so. I shouldn't have said that. But people that don't appreciate what I believe to be the huge benefit brought by professional sports teams to our metropolitan area. It draws people downtown when there are large crowds downtown at events like that. Families are there, and it makes those downtowns safer. So we have our proposal that we have distributed with the language. The amendment is to the part that is reflects a proposal from Hennepin County and with regard to the distribution of those revenues to be split between Hennepin County's Level 1 Trauma Center, HCMC, and North Memorial, which is the only other Level 1 Trauma Center in Hennepin County. And then the we can have a full discussion of that. I don't think it's necessary right now in presenting our offer. And then the second part of that is Senate File 5110, that as it was introduced and represents months and months of negotiation between the ballpark authority the team, the Minnesota Twins, with certainly lots of input from Hennepin County as well. So that proposal and the one on the local sales tax reforms are probably some of our biggest challenges for today to get to an agreeable proposal that can get 34 votes in the Senate. So, members, that's our proposal. And now, Representative Gomez, I invite you to present your proposal, and certainly, as you're doing that, to comment on the Senate's. It is now 10:30. Probably when we finish that, we will be taking a recess, first and foremost, for the Senate conferees to meet and discuss the House offer. Representative Gomez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm going to walk, I'm going to do a little bit of a different walkthrough. I'm going to, I'm using as a reference the spreadsheet that says 5/13/2024 in the top right-hand corner. So it has both the Senate offer from 5/12 and then House offer next to it from 5/14. Sort of 5/13, but I think we might have sent it right about midnight, so I guess it counts as 5/14, but it was yesterday, basically. So I'm just gonna go through it quickly. I'm going to focus on the change items in the House position. So starting on line 5, we accept the moist snuff revenue raiser that was included in the Senate position. Lines 9 to 12, there's some modifications to our position on the child tax credit, advance payment, safe harbor. We're calling that a lot of different things, but the child tax credit provisions are included on those lines. We do stay with the House position of making the changes to the child tax credit permanent. Moving on to line 28, we accept the Senate proposal on sales tax exemptions to snowmobile clubs. Line 29, we accept the Senate provision on the sales tax exemption for firearm safety devices. I think those are the trigger locks. On line 30, you will see we move significantly toward the Senate position on construction sales tax exemptions. There are two of these exemptions that we'll talk about a little bit later. So it's $7 million, including the Browerville and Woodbury projects. But we do pull out the St. Cloud and Duluth housing projects and deal with those in another section. So overall, it's about $9 million that we come toward the Senate position on construction sales tax materials, or construction, construction sales tax exemptions. On line 37, you will see that we move significantly toward the Senate position on SCORE grants. We go up another $1 million on those. Moving to the next page, if you go to line 55, we accept the Senate's position on the agricultural property classification for market farms. Line 57 has the PTR interaction for the Senate position, which is on the exemption for properties used by nonprofits for grazing. We accept that provision. On line 59, you will see that the land value tax districts has new language and is now just a pilot program for Minneapolis to address some of the, hopefully address some of the concerns that were expressed by the other side on that provision. Chair Rest mentioned this on line 67. We go up on our position on local homeless prevention aid. On line 68, we accept the Senate's position on soil and water conservation district aid, the one-time increase in the first biennium. On lines 71 and 72, you will see those provisions that we pulled out of the construction sales tax materials section previously. So the reason for these is these are really important projects in these communities, and you know, we understand the request for some support for them. But the House has some hesitation about granting a construction sales tax exemption to an entity that is not a local government. And so for that reason, we turn them to local aides to those governments for them to direct to the projects, so that we do not set a precedent of extending that exemption to entities that should not be eligible for it. So what we do there is on the Senate capped all of the projects except for Woodbury, Browerville, and Watertown at $595. So for the St. Cloud housing private redevelopment projects, we match the Senate's $595 and turn it into a local aid. For the Duluth project, for the housing development, we add $1 million to the Senate's position and make that a $1.595 million local aid. We do an LGA payment shift on line 85, which was in the Senate position. It's a sort of, it's a different number. We come to the Senate's position on the grant to South St. Paul for $250,000. And I think that, so we do have, in last year's bill, we did Senator Weber, I'm trying to remember the Wyndham. Okay, yeah. So we did the Wyndham project for your community, and we did something on Lake Street.
Right.
And Deed has had some challenges administering it. And so what you'll see on lines 87 and 88 and 89 is basically a modification to that money, which unfortunately has still not gone out to the communities impacted. Hopefully you had better luck with yours, Senator Weber. I don't know, I think you did. So that's just a restructuring of that there. And so that completes, the changes. The changes that we have in our spreadsheet. And just moving to the Senate offer number one on policy and minor fiscal impact items. We accept the, you know, we're working still, I think, on the corporate disclosure as Chair Rest indicated. I think that we're moving in the same direction on that. As I mentioned on the spreadsheet walkthrough, we accept the grazing. We need more conversation on the House side on the Class D income averaging clarification. We accept the market farming changes, as I mentioned in the spreadsheet walkthrough. We accept this. Oh, sorry. We're sort of going back and forth on the land bank language still. I think that we do still prefer the House language. We accept the changes on homeless prevention aid. Chair Rest talked about the kind of work in progress on local sales taxes, and also the Minneapolis Downtown Taxing District, that there will be an amendment. And the House needs further discussion, which we're pursuing aggressively is not the right word, but with the seriousness it needs to get to agreement on the Hennepin County ballpark tax. And so that concludes our change items. I guess I do just want to say, you know, it's your prerogative to put things in an offer and then have us send you an offer and you remove those items from your second offer. I would say it's, you know, unorthodox perhaps, and you know, but I am committed, and I think you are committed to getting a deal, and so we're going to move forward in that way. Although moving off of positions you've accepted is not the norm in exchanging offers. So with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. With regard to that, sometimes when you accept a provision, it's really contingent on how the thing fits together. And so if things are really changed from the other side, in this case the House, then that changes the overall offer. And so that, and when we get additional information, that changes it too. We're talking about global offers. Every single time we meet on it, and so there is absolutely likely that individual provisions are going to be changed or added to or eliminated, and that is not a unique, nor is it a new way of dealing with conferring tax bills. And, you know, the third offer may go back to some of the things because other elements in it have changed. And I think we need to make sure that we have a a flexible understanding about what a global offer, actually means when it comes down to the wire and when we have additional information. For example, you don't have the 4D. I hope you'll be persuaded by, as a clarification, I'm hoping you'll be, and that wasn't in your offer, I hope you'll be persuaded by the letter from, and we'll share that with you, from the Commissioner of Housing Finance Agency, that it is not a any kind of policy change, that it is indeed a clarification that does not cause any concern for them, that it's going to result in anything differently than what they're doing now. So with that, the Senate is going to consider your offer. We're going to adjourn to compare the offers and invite you to do the same and come back with additional response, and we will also do that. So we're going to adjourn to the call of
recess.
We're going and not adjourn. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's why he's here. We're going to recess to the call of the chair, and again, we expect to be
Madam
meeting.
Chair.
We expect to be meeting throughout the day, back and forth, coming in for clarification of items and so forth. But at this point, probably not back until like 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So we're going to come back after you've sent us another offer?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to come up with one.
Perfect. Thank you.
Send it, and then we will be back to present it, get your reaction to that, and move on. Okay, so we stand in recess to the call of the chair. And we're going in.